Hi, so I'm Julie, and I do teach in the Community Planning and Development Program at La Trobe University in the Bendigo campus. What you will see on the screen are friends of mine, G and B, and the reason why I'm showing you this is because they built that box cart. At the time, they were 8 and 10 years old, and much to their mother's chagrin, I gave them a saw and power tools. Why am I telling this ultimately? Is because we're often very afraid now to let children do things. Let young people experiment. We're concerned about what the ramifications might be, so we often tend to be risk-averse rather than risk-skilling. And this is really important because these boys were so proud of their accomplishment. So when we take away opportunities to be exposed to somewhat dangerous situations, we also take away opportunities to feel confident, to feel competent, and to become masters over their personal skills and the environment around them. Now, my colleagues and I work in a slightly different field than manufacturing boxcar. We tend to work with kids and their views about the urban environment and how they use them. So my colleagues and I look at children's independent mobility. As you can see here in this slide from DAPTO, it's not very independent in New South Wales. It's a bit more independent in Sri Lanka, Trincomalee. These are students on their way home from school on their bicycles. In Tokyo, Japan, you have quite young kids going in groups to get to school, often using public transport by themselves. And then in South Africa, you might find that there's some differences between some of the richer families and the poorer countries in terms of how they get to school. Now, when we actually look at some data here, what you can see is that Dar es Salaam in Tanzania and Tokyo, Japan, have quite high levels of mobility. But when you're looking at Australia, less than 40% of children actually travel to school independently. And so one of the questions I have is, why is this occurring? Is it that we're so risk-averse? Are we afraid of the consequences? Now, there's a myriad of other reasons why parents drive their kids to school. They want to spend time with them, or school bags are really heavy, or they want to send their kids to private school that might be distance. But what I really want to focus on is this notion of risk and how that relates to our notions of children's competence. Now, if you look at the reasons for not letting children travel independently, what you'll find, the green here is crime, the red is traffic. Well, parents in Dar es Salaam and in Japan have fewer fears about crime and traffic. In Cape Town and New South Wales, there's much greater fears about crime and traffic. The thing is, when you start to look at real rates, objective data, Australia has really low rates of homicide per 100,000 people. It's up nearly 37% in South Africa compared to what you find in Australia and Japan. And then if you look at rapes per 100,000 people, Australia, unfortunately, is quite high, but not as high as South Africa. And within that, there's also different reporting mechanisms. So it's likely that you would have more reporting of incidences in Australia than South Africa. And when we start to look at traffic, we have streets like this in Melbourne, driving situations like this that often occur in Sri Lanka and South Africa, high density in Tokyo and Japan, but still, for some reason, the traffic fatalities are still really low in Australia compared to other nations like South Africa and Tanzania. So what we have is a picture here where objectively, if we take our emotions out of it, Australia is an incredibly safe place. Now, I'm not trying to say that parents are irrational in their fears, as some people in my field do say. But what I am trying to say is we have such a focus on what might go wrong and the consequences that we aren't balancing it out with the positive benefits of exposure to different situations. So if we look at it and we look at the broader context, if we look at media, if we look at policy, we find that we tend to situate children in dangers in this sort of linear approach where you have a hazard, an event or a situation, and it harms a vulnerable child, leading to long-term serious consequences. Alternatively, we look at kids and say, hey, do you know what? You're the cause of accidents. You're going to harm yourself or others and leading to long-term damage. And we keep expanding this view of what is damage, what is harm. So if you look at this, I don't know how many of you are very good with bell charts, but I became very good at it while doing my thesis. right here, you might have the worst case scenario and the diversity of kids. So within this bell curve, what you find that there's a vast diversity of kids. Some are really, really good at things. Some are not so good at things. And traditionally, policy used to focus on the worst case scenario. How do we help those children most at risk, most needing the help, or their families? And then we had the calculated average. Being average was okay. Unfortunately, as time goes on, we find that policy keeps expanding. We keep going after more and more situations. We keep identifying more ways that children might get into danger, might be harmed, the damages that they might encounter. And it keeps going. And frankly, at the far end, not the worst case scenario end, but at the most competent end, we're now undermining what we believe or what we understand to be children's abilities. And that, I think, is a very dangerous situation. And I think that contributes to our collective view of risk and fear and why we are concerned about letting kids do things and go places on their own. Now, with policy and media always focusing on the worst case scenario, it's a difficult situation because although they want to publicize potential dangers and create warnings, they're feeding into parents' worst nightmare. Their child will go out, they will be harmed. However, while parents are worried about the consequences, they're also dealing with the fact that their children are growing up. And as they grow up, as they gain more exposure, more experiences, as their skills develop, their relationship with them, with their children and with their, between their children and their environment changes. And we need to be able to set kids up with a variety of skills, a variety of talents, an ability to read different social situations in a variety of ways. But I have to wonder whether we are doing this. What you have here, and this is an example of what I think happens, is I was driving along, and these are G&B. They've come to visit me where I live in Castlemaine, and we want to go swimming. And so we went to the reservoir, and we see all these kids going on this rope swing, and they're holding on and screaming and flying out into the water, dropping down. I said, let's do it. And the kids looked at me and went, whoa, because they've never done it. They're from the inner city. Anyway, we get there, and we look, and it's a steep bank. There's lots of rocks, and I said, right. When you do this, you need to hold on very tight, hands equally placed on either side of the rope so you don't twist. Keep your knees up so you don't scrape your toes. And when I yell, drop, drop, you cannot second guess me. You cannot argue with me. You cannot hold on. You just do immediately what I say. And they said, why is that? And I said, well, you might swing back. And they looked at the rocks and they said, ooh, we could fall and crack our head opens and die. And I looked at them with great glee and I said, yes. And that was very, you know, it's trepidation, scary. So small, starting on smaller levels, the kids did this and they dropped and they got excited. They learned a new skill. They're happy with themselves. They also learned to assess risk. So when it was my turn, they told me when to drop. They understood the arc and they understood the potential consequences of what would happen. These are all things that we need to remember and keep in the forefront of our mind. Because one day kids do grow up and we have two choices. We have the choice to either assume that once they're 18 and mature enough that they will have the ability to encounter any situation with either grace, nous, or the ability to run, whichever way it might be, or we can sit there and think, right, every day in small little ways, we can guide our children in all types of situations, whether it's dealing with someone who's a bit different, whether it's dealing with power tools, whether it's about crossing traffic, whether it's even cycling in traffic. Whatever it is, we do have the choice. Leave them till the end, till they're off in Europe or other places, looking at maps and trying to figure it out on their own, or throughout their lives so that when they do go out into the world, they're able to master their situations. So, thank you very much.